Okay, so this is the first of a conversation, of a chat here on Radio With and Ho, a new programme that we've got called With Chat, which is really, I think, going to be quite open-ended. And as the name suggests, With Chat, we're looking really to speak with locals in With and Ho, maybe some of the mature members in the community, some younger members, anyone that's got any kind of story to tell, all about living in With and Ho, their experiences, and anything which they think could be useful to listen to. And so I think, what a good place to start. I've got some time, very kindly, with Peter Green, who has been in With and Ho all his life, born and bred. So that is quite a story for us to get to. So first of all, if I say, hi Peter, and thank you for joining us. Shall we start maybe? So I gather your family, Peter, has got a long history going back in With and Ho.
Yes, indeed. In fact, the complete family of the Greens have always been in the fishing and sailing world, and the maritime world is complete, going back over 150 years with no other profession. And giving the background of the family is quite historic. Grandfather, who had CK-299 built at Roe Hedge, by the name of Eley's. Don't know why he called it Eley's, but that's the name of it. And from that point onwards, the family have always been involved in fishing and sailing, and the combination of both events were international. Grandfather sailed in the America's Cup races on many occasions, and one epic race in New York Harbour when they collided with the Ginesta, that is, representing England, and Puritan representing America in 1885. They collided, giving England the America's Cup. But the owner, Sir Richard Sutton, said in those days the racing in the America's Cup was privately run. And the owner, Sir Richard Sutton, came over to watch the race, and he said that we haven't come over here to win by a technicality, we've come over here to win by ability. And unfortunately, they did resail and lost the resail, so the America's Cup never returned to England.
So this was a time when professional racing was very, very important for With and Ho, and many of the local crew, many of the crew for these really worldwide races actually were based in the town.
Yes, that's correct. With and Ho, Roe Hedge, Brightlingsley, and Mersey to some extent, all their crews were drawn from this, you could say, the Cone or the Blackwater. I haven't been able to understand why they came to this area for their crews, but they did. The Vanderbilt family also were very much involved in international sailing, and my uncle, Ernie Green, he sailed with the Vanderbilts, and the Vanderbilt family only had English crew. He was chandler to the Vanderbilt family in the 1920s, and subsequently, latterly, he had the Borley CK-51, which was a Leon C. Borley, used and fished and shrimped in this area, and I was apprenticed straight from school on the Volunteer, which was the name of the Leon C. Borley.
So what kind of period was this, please, roughly? What kind of year are we
this
talking?
This would be 1946 onwards up till my national service days in 1950. Interdispersed with fish on the fish round, which we had around because Dad's job being one of the minor ones of the family, or junior ones of the family, he marketed the fish which his elder brother and father caught. And that's how our retail business was developed in Colchester and surrounding district, and was for 50 odd years was very successful in the Colchester town centre.
And is it worth mentioning, so what was the family business, or what did you trade under, please?
The trade name in Colchester was A. Green and Sons. I happen to be one of the sons. The A. Green was father, Alec Green, and he was quite renowned in Colchester and district for the quality of shrimps, which were caught by his elder brother Ernie on the Borley. So that was the early days of the family. But sailing also was a dominant part of my youth. And father had number 17, also called Ely's, built in the late 1930s for the and sailed with Wivenhoe Sailing Club. The design, by the way, was Dr. Radcliffe's design for the Wivenhoe One design, and there was 19 or 20 Wivenhoe One designs built.
Of which some of those boats, I gather, are still active and still sailing. They're almost like collector's items.
That's correct, yes.
Is your boat still around, you know?
I last saw it, its hull upturned, but it needed restoration. So whether that's been attempted, I'm not sure. But
and that was somewhere locally in Wivenhoe. It's still in the area?
In the Wivenhoe Sailing Club yard. It was the last visual amount I've noticed.
So sailing obviously has been, well, sailing and fishing is very, very strong, it seems, in your family, Peter. So was this something that, you know, from like growing up, at what kind of age did you understand or kind of realise or think, yes, that's going to be pretty much my life?
Well, in the early days, of course, all the families, it was their job either. We created our own jobs, and the family have always been self-employed. And so consequently, most of the older families then in the 1920s, 30s and 40s era, I cover the 1930s onwards era, the families all were either fishing or connected to fishing or sailing or even rope making. They've all disappeared now, and I only have a cousin fishing part-time, cousin Barry Green, and he is the last remaining one of our family, of the Green family, having any fishing connection currently. The demise of the fishing industry has been acute, and with all the rules and regulations and quotas, I'm afraid that it was inevitable with a person making the rules behind a desk who very little knowledge of the damage they did to the whole of the industry. There's no doubt about that. They have.
And could you date when is there some sort of turning point, some period in history where you could say that is where Wivenhoe, as a fishing town, that industry just disappeared? Or was it a bit more gradual?
It was gradual, but post-war era, 1945 onwards, was the marked decline of the local fishing. North Sea Canners had the last fishing input factory along the near the West Quay in Wivenhoe, the North Sea Canners, and Lewis Worsp, and that was the last connection with the boats, and gradually they declined until demise has happened complete now.
So I can imagine the whole front, the whole kind of quay area and around there, this is all very well documented, but when you first started sailing or fishing or going out there on the river, what period was this, and then what did it actually physically look like? So I imagine the Rose and Crown was still going to be there on those houses along the front, but obviously the shipyard and the port were both probably quite active. Can you maybe describe your sort of first memories of what it actually looked like down towards the quay?
It was very, very much before, this is going back before I was born, people with no knowledge of this, and they, even I have no real knowledge, the excess fish which the boats caught and landed, which couldn't be marketed in time, either was spread on the fields by the farmers, and there was dumped on the quay, and the area it was dumped was right outside the Rose and Crown, so many times the locals had free fish, free sprats, because stobiting was the early methods of spratting, which Brother Ken and myself took part in the last remaining era of stobiting, which is a method completely thrown out and old-fashioned, but it, I gather it was in operation for 500 or 600 years around this area. And we were in our teens when we were apprenticed, you could say, on the volunteer CK-51. And then National Service arrived, and it sort of gradually petered out. My family got too old, and we were all family-owned. All the vessels were family-owned, and so in the end, age and every event gradually deteriorated for Wivenhoe, I'm afraid, and Brightling Sea as well, because Brightling Sea used to be really mecca for importing and exporting sprats, which were world renowned, but it's all gone, right?
But like mentioning having free fish down there by the quay, this wasn't a time of affluence. This was probably sort of down towards that lower end of the town. Quite a harsh existence for people living locally, I imagine. Poverty must have been a constant struggle.
Well, it was, but the free fish kept them going, and but the barter system worked very well. When mother married into the family, she said she hadn't felt so rich. The rich meant there was food on the table, and the barter system worked so well that that food was never a shortage, because fish represented so much meat, so much potatoes, so much bread, milk, and it worked. The system worked very well. Where most of the family lived, where Joan Hickson, the actress, lived up till her death, was our family home, where most of the family were born, including Father Alec, and most of his other members of the family, cousins and so forth, were born there. And the first Uncle Edwin, by the way, who was another member of the family, he ran the fish and chip shop opposite in East Street. And my great aunt Rose, who was Grandmother Green's sister, she owned quite a number of properties in Wivenhoe, quite a few in Elmer Street, where I was born. I was born in Elmer Street, East Street, Brook Street, and but he didn't give her any money, because the income, which was fixed in rent, the repairs, because they were old buildings, were more than the rent. So consequently, the war years were looming, and the properties in the lower part of Wivenhoe could have been bought just after the war for almost nothing. Dreadful, really.
So in those kind of pre-war times, in those pre-war days, what would be your definition of Wivenhoe? I imagine not going all the way back as far as the cross and like Broad Lane. Was there some sort of cut-off point where you would say, this is where Wivenhoe ends?
Well, there used to be quite an event of yesteryear where the football era developed, because I enjoyed football very much. We had a very successful team in the 1950s, which we swept all before us. Everything we entered, we won, which was quite something in those earlier days. But there was an event called the Upstreeters versus the Downstreeters, and it was quite fought a pair. But by that time, most of the development was happening in the top part of, above the Park Hotel. And so the Wivenhoe downstreeters were gradually immigrating to the top part of Wivenhoe. But nevertheless, we had a very successful football team in the 1950s. And England's fast bowler, Neil Foster, his father, Alan Foster, I played football with, and his grandfather, Jim Foster, was our club masseur, which with a magic sponge. But those days, and the football field in those days was where the water tower is now. It's being built right through, and it's very difficult to understand where the football pitch existed, but it's there for many, many years.